there's a very important concept in the Buddhist teachings, and a concept that we need to keep in mind at the beginning of our practice, the middle of our practice, at the end of our practice. And that's the concept of merit, or punya. In Pali, the word is punya. Another way that we can think of merit is simply good karma. In English, the word merit, it has several different meanings, but basically it means good karma, wholesome actions, actions that bring beneficial results, either immediately in our next life or some future life. So when the Buddha categorized merit, he talked about three broad categories. The first is good karma collected through generosity, giving things. The second is good karma collected through ethical behavior, specifically around keeping the five precepts, but all kinds of ethical behavior. And the third is merit that we collect through meditation and training the mind. So some people mistakenly think that when the Buddha talks about merit, he's just talking about giving. But it's clearly not true that he's talking about all three types of wholesome action. Giving is fundamental to the practice, not just through the good results that come to us from giving, but also when we give something, then automatically we're not holding on to it. Although, if we give something physically, but then keep holding on to it with our mind, right, then it's not totally pure giving, but still it's giving. It's a good start. So, the Buddha also talked about two major categories of giving. That there's giving of material things, and there's giving the Dhamma, so sharing the teachings. And as much as he praised giving material things, he said that giving the Dhamma is always superior. And we can easily see this, because when we give someone something physically, it's subject to what? Impermanence, right? As absolutely certain that we are that we need to give people food, we know that that food that we give them, it'll only last them a day, maybe half a day. Right? But when someone receives the Dhamma, that's a gift that can transform their lives completely. Right? Not only in this life, but the benefits can carry on to future lives. The benefits can even lead to the perfection of happiness, supreme enlightenment. Right? So the Buddha praised both kinds of giving. Right? So when we hear the Buddha talking about like rating things like that, we should never think, and this is a danger that people who kind of learn Buddhism through books and things, which is a way that a lot of people do, and it's not wrong to learn the Dhamma through writings. But someone learning on their own without good spiritual friends can easily say, oh, well, in that case, I'm not going to give things away, material things, I'm just going to go around telling people the Dhamma, right? So maybe they do collect a lot of merit in sharing the Dhamma, but maybe they don't. Maybe they, you know, clearly they misunderstand the Dhamma, so you have to be a little suspicious about what they might be sharing with people, right? But when we give material gifts, we know that we're doing something very beneficial, right? And especially when we learn the qualities to develop in the mind as we give a gift, then we know, right, that gift is becoming even more and more powerful, both for us and for others as well. So once the Buddha was in Savatthi and he was preaching the Dhamma to a large crowd of people, as he often did. And in that sermon, he was talking about generosity, about giving. And he talked about four different kinds of people in terms of giving and generosity. And this was something that he did many times, to analyze things in terms of different kinds of people that had different qualities, different behaviors. So he said, the first kind of person will give gifts to people, but they won't encourage other people to give gifts. And so this person who gives gifts themselves but doesn't encourage others to give, when that karma ripens, it ripens in having great material comforts, abundant food, shelter, clothing, medicine, maybe even heavenly food, shelter, clothing. But because they don't encourage other people to give, they enjoy those things by themselves. They're not surrounded by a group of people, a group of friends to support them and to enjoy them with. Second type of person doesn't give gifts, but they encourage other people to give. There are people like that, aren't there? Right? Who may not like to give things away, but at least they encourage other people to give gifts. So the Buddha said that when that kind of karma ripens, it doesn't ripen in material happiness, but it ripens in having lots of people around you to support you, right? So you're not lonely. You may be poor, but you're not lonely, at least. So, third type of person, they don't encourage other people to give, and they don't give anything themselves. Lots of people like that in the world. The Buddha said, when that karma ripens, because even not doing actions can ripen as karma, that because they haven't done the actions to result in good things, then they're left with bad things, a lack of things. So this person that doesn't give and doesn't encourage other people to give, when that action ripens, they're poor and alone. So, fourth type of person. Can you take a guess at who that person would be? They give gifts, and they encourage other people to give. And that when someone does that good karma, collects that kind of merit, that that person is both wealthy, has a lot of material comforts, and lots of people around them to enjoy them with. They're never alone, right? They never need help and don't get it from people around them. So when the Buddha was giving this sermon, there was a man sitting in the crowd, and he was really inspired. He took the teachings right into his heart, and immediately, upon hearing these instructions, had the wish. Okay, I want to get both kinds of good results. I want to be surrounded by friends, and I want to be wealthy. I want to have material comfort, so I don't have to to suffer in that way. And I can make the people around me happy as well. So he, right there on the spot, without even standing up, he made the determination to do both of those things. So this is what the Buddha means when he talks about applying teachings to our lives, right? That we don't think, oh yeah, that might be a good idea to do. That might, yeah, that sounds okay, right? I don't want to do that right now, but it sounds okay, right? That when we hear these instructions, when we hear about the benefits, right? We want to be motivated. We want to have energy to do these things that the Buddha instructs. Because if we're not in this habit, right, then we don't get the full benefit, right? And these, you know, when it comes to these kinds of instructions, they're kind of painless to follow, right? Many of the Buddha's instructions are very hard, right? They involve making deep sacrifices. They involve working with a mind that's very out of control and taming it, right? So if we can't even be inspired to follow these purely pleasant and actually not so difficult teachings, then we're not in the habit to follow the more difficult ones. So this man, he, right on the spot, he thinks, okay, I'm going to organize an almsgiving for the entire monastic sangha, for all the monks and nuns living in Salati. And he knew that he couldn't do that on his own, but he knew that he had this other trick, encouraging others to give. So after the sermon was over and everyone else went away, he went up to the Buddha and he bowed down, paid respects, and said, "Venerable sir, I'd like to invite the sangha for a meal tomorrow, the entire sangha." Now, sometimes when people would do that, the Buddha would caution them, saying, "You know, the sangha is really big. There's a lot of us. Are you sure that you want to do that?" But this time he didn't. Maybe he knew exactly what was going on. He had just preached the sermon on getting other people to give, so maybe he was confident that this man had taken the teachings to heart. So the Buddha accepted. Usually the Buddha accepts things by being silent. That if he doesn't want to do something, he'll say, "No, that's not appropriate." But otherwise he accepts silently. So the Buddha accepted, and very happily the man went off and got started right away. So he got his friends together, and they organized, and they went through the streets shouting out, because this is how people did things. They didn't have Facebook and Twitter and whatnot. They tweeted it right out to the right out to the people standing along the road, and they said, "Tomorrow, almsgiving. Everyone can participate. Everyone can help. If you have a little, give a little. If you have a lot, give a lot. We'll come by and collect the food." So they started encouraging people and went around in teams to collect the food. So having made the announcement, then they came back a little bit later. So when they were going around shouting out about this almsgiving, there was a certain shopkeeper who heard what was being said, and instead of having a happy mind, instead of getting excited, instead of thinking, "Oh, you know, I've never had the chance to participate in an almsgiving before, now they're even going to come to my shop and I don't have to do anything but give it to them," he didn't think any of those thoughts. He immediately thought, "Who is this guy? Why did he take on this big project that he couldn't do himself? You know, if he wants to feed the whole sangha, then he could do that, but he shouldn't expect me to help." Right? So right away, so some people, and the Buddha said this, some people, they they're generous and they like to hear about generosity. They like to, even if they just get a little encouragement, they give things. But some people, their mind isn't like that, right? They think, you know, people need to work for what they get. I deserve all my wealth because I've earned it. Other people need to get a job, right? You hear people with those beliefs. So this shopkeeper was very resentful of the man. Instead of just ignoring him, he developed this irritation, right? Because we know that sometimes we're like that too, right? We hear about something and we, you know, we start being unhappy and it kind of builds, especially when we think that we're right and they're wrong. It can even build to the point where we want to teach them a lesson, right? And that's exactly what happened. This man thought, okay, well, I'll show him how ridiculous this is that he's expecting other people to give. So it just so happened that this very man that was organizing the Dana came to the shopkeeper's shop with his friends, with baskets, and he went into the shop and said, please, sir, whatever you'd like to give for the alms meal, please give whatever you like. And so the shopkeeper said, ah, yes, come over here. And he went to his bag of rice, and he took three fingers, and he took a little pinch of rice, and he put that little pinch of rice in the basket. And he said, wait, I have more. And he went to the barrel of beans, dal, lentils, and he took his fingers and he took just a few little lentils and he put them in the basket. Right? So I'll show him, right? So then he went to the carrots and pulled out a tiny little carrot, right? A little bit of salt maybe, sprinkle it here. And said, there you go, there's my gift. Do with it what you want. So fortunately, the man who was organizing the Dana, he didn't flinch. He didn't say anything. He didn't insult the man. He just said, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. But what he did do was kind of keep that a little separate. Right, he kept those grains of rice separate, and he kind of kept those things aside. And so the shopkeeper saw that and was like, "What's he up to? Why did he do that?" And so he sent one of his employees to follow behind and see what this guy did with his offering. And so the employee went after him and noticed that when the man got back to the area where the food was being prepared, he actually took that little bit of rice and took one grain and put it in this pot of rice and put another grain and put it in this pot of rice. And right, he spread it out all over the place. Same with the beans, and cut up the carrot into a few, you know, the tiny little carrot into tiny little pieces, and spread it out all over the kitchen where the meal was being prepared. Even stranger, right? So the employee goes back to the shopkeeper, and when the shopkeeper hears that, he can't figure it out. And so he's sure that the guy is up to no good. And so he keeps thinking and thinking, and finally he decides that this man is somehow going to embarrass him the next day, that this man has paid attention to the tiny little gift that the shopkeeper made, and that the next day somehow he's going to embarrass him in front of the whole city. So the shopkeeper's lying awake all night, you know, because he realizes that he did something that if the whole city were to find out about, he would be really embarrassed, and it would ruin his reputation. So as he's lying there, the anger building, and, you know, he was already unhappy, right? He started out the day unhappy with this guy. And then it just it built until finally he decided that that if the man organizing the dana was going to embarrass him the next day, he'd have to murder him before he said anything. The mind does that, doesn't it? maybe it sounds a little extreme, but we all know that, right? When we let a grudge, right, irritation go. Maybe we're not ready to kill somebody yet, but we'll do things. So the shopkeeper went the next day with a knife right in his belt. And the man organizing the dana did a very beautiful job. The whole city, right, most of the city participated. People who had never given alms before had the chance to give something, right? Because very few people could give an alms gift to the entire Sangha. And so many people would have never been able to participate in something like that. Right? So after the meal was over and the monastics had cleaned up, it was time for the dedication of merit. And so the man who organized the dana went to the front, and he bowed down again to the Buddha and said, "Venerable Sir, today, through my encouragement, people throughout the city have had the chance to give alms. Some people gave a lot, and some people were only able to give just a little bit. But please share all of this merit with everyone. Let everyone share equally in this massive gift, whether they gave just a little bit or whether they gave a lot." So, this shopkeeper was standing there and felt totally ashamed, right? Here, he was ready to kill this man, right? Thinking that he would be insulted. But instead, this man isn't greedy, right? Says that he wants everyone to rejoice equally. He wants everyone to feel the same, like they've done the same great action in making this gift. So the shopkeeper realizes he has enough, you know, it's like cool water poured on a fire, that he was shocked. Here he had built up this idea in his mind that this man was such a terrible person, right? That he was foolish for encouraging other people to give more than he was able to give, that he was going to insult him somehow. Right? So the man, in this state of shock and shame, at least knew that he needed to apologize, right? He had at least that much goodness in him. So he went to the front of the crowd, and he bowed down to the Buddha, he bowed down to this man who had organized the dana, and he begged forgiveness. And the man said, I forgive you, but what did you do that was so terrible? Right? Because otherwise all this man would have known was that the merchant was going to had given just a tiny little bit. Right? And the man didn't know why the merchant gave a little bit, right? His mind was even. He thought, well, you know, it's still good for him to give that much. And so when people heard this, what had happened, the Buddha explained that, yes, this is absolutely true, that we should never look down on a gift just because it's small, that while it's possible to give great gifts, even some people in the time of the Buddha gave an entire monastery as a gift. But the Buddha always praised even the smallest kind of gift, right? Even even the water that we use to rinse our bowls. The Buddha says, if we toss that out, thinking, may the little animals, right, that live in the earth, may they gain some benefit from this food, right? He said, even from that, the merit comes back to us 100 times. So the Buddha gave a verse that we can find in the Dhammapada, and he said, he gave a simile. He said, just like a pot that's filled only with drops of water, eventually that pot will get full. That even though we may look at that one or two drops of water and think, what can you do with a drop of water? Right? But it's only through many, many drops of water, right, that something fills up. The Buddha said, never look down on an act of merit, on an act of good karma, thinking it's insignificant, right? Because they build up, and they each have value. That many times it's not possible for us to do really great things. We may be poor, right? We may have to work so hard that we never have the chance to organize a big gift. Right? We may only be able to give very small things. But the Buddha said, we should never look down on that gift. Right? That any good karma that we collect, right? Any time we follow the precepts, any time that we train the mind in meditation, right? That's another place where people can very easily think, what does 5 minutes mean, right? What, you know, why bother this loving kindness that we do? It's only 10 minutes, right? To really get benefit, we have to sit for an hour, right? A lot of people will think that way, or, you know, it has to be 2 hours, right? And then they never do it. They never meditate a minute, right? But the Buddha said, drop by drop, little bit by little bit, we collect this good karma, and that it brings results. Sometimes more powerful results than we could even imagine, right? Because that's the thing, that actions, the results of the actions that we do they're lined up together, right? Good actions, good results. Bad actions, bad results. That orientation, it's always there. That doesn't waver. But the way that something manifests, usually it's many, many times more than what we would think that the act would be. So I know that some of you are going to be participating in the meal offering that we're doing tomorrow downtown at the Main Street Project, right? And so when we do that, or maybe you gave some ingredients for the meal offering, right? That as we're doing acts of generosity like that, right? We don't want to let the mind think, oh, I should have done more, or what does this matter, right? This gift to ordinary people, should never think anything like that at all, right? Should never think that we're better than the people that we're giving to, right? We should never look down on someone that we give a gift to. The Buddha said that we're still giving the gift, and we still get powerful results, but we can increase the good karma simply in the attitude that we have when we give the gift. Right? So that man who gave the gift in a very stingy way with a mind that was corrupt, right? It wasn't as great as if he had given just a few grains of rice with a very pure intention, right? With a very wholesome wish, right? But still, even that crooked gift, right, still brings benefit. So what to think about, right, when we make a gift, that we have these good intentions. We give the best that we can. We give thinking about the welfare of the people that we're giving to, and we give without holding back. So today we've had the chance to learn this very beautiful simile that the Buddha preached, this simile of the pot being filled, drop by drop by drop. And we can remember that anytime we start to waver in our confidence in the results of good karma, thinking that this won't come of anything, that it's not worth it to do just little things as we can, but that instead we have this confidence that that powerful results come to us, powerful results that result in material happiness, powerful results that result in spiritual happiness and wisdom. So, having heard this excellent story about disciples of the Supreme Buddha, having heard this beautiful simile of the water pot being filled drop by drop, may we too take these teachings into our lives. May we too receive the benefits of generosity, of encouraging others to give. Through the power of all this merit, may we too one day experience the supreme bliss of Nibbana in this Gautama Buddha's dispensation. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.